This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Over the last few decades, we have seen an ongoing decline within the Christian community throughout the world. There are areas in Europe where once thriving churches existed and are now abandoned and actually closed. And it's not much different throughout the United States and Canada. Churches that were once the homes of healthy congregations, well, today are now just shells of what they once were. There are many things feeding these trends and of which contribute to the disappearance of these Christian congregations. So many distractions, especially in the affluent Western cultures, which consume and takes time away from building a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ and from understanding God's Word. Are there signs that might help us to recognize a dying church congregation? Are there trends that we might be able to identify which could help us to avoid our Christian churches from destruction? Well, stay with us as we explore these questions on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What we're going to look at today, the subject that I'm going to address, is the church dying? Or more succinctly, is your church dying? Now, I'll get to whether or not your church is dying in the body of this particular program, but I want to address some interesting statistics to start things off. When we look at Protestant denominations in the United States, going from 1990 to the year 2000, we find that Protestant denominations have lost 5 million members during that 10-year period. That's a 9% drop. Now, that is more glaring because during that same 10-year period, the United States increased its population by 24 million, or an 11% increase. Now, there are various research studies out there on how many people are going to church today. One particular study found that 40 to 50% of individuals in the United States are attending church regularly, maybe two or three times a month. But when we look at a place like Canada, there are only 20% attending church regularly there. And Europe, it's only 8%, at least according to this particular survey. Another survey from 2012 found that 33% of European Christians attended church at least once a month. In Latin America, that number goes up to 75%. In Africa, 90%. And in the United States, for that same survey, it was 37% attending church on a weekly basis. So there are a number of different statistics out there, but one other interesting stat is this. Right now, there are about 2.2 billion Christians on planet Earth. There are 1.6 billion Muslims. Islam is the second largest religion in the world. But what we hear from the researchers is, if trends continue as they are right now, Islam will surpass Christianity as the largest religion in the world by the end of this century. So keeping all that in mind, we're going to delve into the subject of how do you know if your church is dying? Before we do that, though, I want to offer you a free CD and a free piece of literature for today's program. I'd like to offer you the CD, Building the Church. I'd also like to offer you the free piece of literature titled, Call to Revival. A revival is a time when we focus on Christianity, when we put our whole body and soul into it. And I believe that any time a church is dying, you need to do something like that. You need to have a call to revival. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. You can also visit our website to order. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast by going to www.cgi.org. Thanks again for joining us on today's program. We're looking at the subject of how do you know if your church is dying? And I read an interesting book on this very subject. The title of the book is Autopsy of a Deceased Church by a fellow named Tom Rainier. And it gave me a couple great ideas I want to bring forward on today's program when we look at whether or not we need to infuse something into our church, wherever your church may be. Now, before I get to some of the ideas Rainier mentioned in his book, I want to mention one thing, and it's over here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Now, in Matthew 16 and 18, it reads like this, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." No matter what state your church is in today, we can go to this scripture to help give us some energy, to help give us some impetus to make changes with our churches if they need some help. Now, getting back to Rainier's book, Autopsy of a Deceased Church, one of the problems he says, and he researched a lot of churches that died out, that imploded, and what he found was one of their problems was they looked at the past as a hero, that everything that happened in the past was the way the church needed to be today, and that caused a lot of problems for some of these churches. When we look in the Bible, we see examples of change all the time. God told Abraham to get out of Ur of the Chaldees and move. God told Moses to take Israel out of Egypt and move. We know Jesus Christ, who was with the Father in heaven, had to come to this earth, become a man, in order to move God's plan forward. So we see examples of change throughout the Bible. We see Paul persecuting the church at one time and then becoming one of the church's greatest proponents. Change has to occur, and even in our churches, especially if we are having issues, we may need to change some things. Change can be a good thing. Again, not change for change's sake, but we've got to find out what we need to change and then implement that change. Those of us here at the Church of God International have made a change over the last few years. In the past, we were focused on network TV, cable TV, and it was costing a lot of money for us to get this program on those TV stations. Our bang for the buck was diminishing over time. We came up with a different plan for the TV program. We put advertising dollars into promoting our TV show on the web, and we are maintaining our numbers, and we're doing it at a less cost to the church. So again, we've got to change when we see things that need to be changed. Try it out and see what happens. Now, just to give you another metaphor along these lines, you may remember the story from the Mount St. Helens explosion in Washington State in May of 1980. There was a fella who lived at the base of Mount St. Helens. His name was Harry Truman. No, not the president. This was another Harry Truman who refused to move. Even though Mount St. Helens was gurgling, even though it was spewing smoke, even though the government told him he needed to move, even though his family members told him he needed to get away from the base of Mount St. Helens, this particular stubborn individual did not do it. And when Mount St. Helens blew, the lava flow enveloped Mr. Truman's house and killed him. When we've got to move, we've got to move as a church. Another example I want to give you from Scripture is over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. When we talk about infusing the church, changing the church for the better, I want you to go to this Scripture, Philippians 2 verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. What Rainier found when he studied these churches was many of these churches were looking at themselves, those who were part of their community, their church community, but they were not looking outward at the community that surrounded them. So as they began to get older as a church, they began to die off because they were not focusing on the community of people around them and getting involved with those people around them. What we are doing at my local church is we are not only focusing on our members by sending them cards when they can't make it, by visiting them, by calling them on the phone, but we are also looking at our outer community. We are collecting food on a quarterly basis, and I'm taking it to a facility known as Gaithersburg Help that provides food and sustenance to disadvantaged members of our community. And we are getting our church name into the community in a wholly different way than we have in the past. And we're hoping that's going to pay off for us as we move into the future. So those are some things you can do as a church to try to keep the energy of that church going in a positive way. We also have a young adult group within the Church of God International known as Infuse. And at each of our Feast of Tabernacles that we have once a year, we'll have our Infuse group work with Habitat for Humanity and build a house, go to a shelter and help people there, go to a nursing home and help people there. If you aren't getting into your community, it's going to be much more difficult for your church to grow and sustain itself wherever it may be. Another example is found in the book of Philippians. This is back in Philippians 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men." So this fact that Jesus came in the form of a servant, that he died for us, is very important for us to remember as Christians. That as Christians, we need to be serving our parishioners, but also our friends and family. And that example will have a positive effect on how they also view your church. Another thing to keep in mind when we think about sacrifice is that there was a book called the Love Dare Book, which was based on the movie Fireproof. And in this book, a man is trying to save his failing marriage. And what he does for 40 consecutive days is he does some sort of sacrifice for his marriage. He does this one day. He does this the next day for 40 consecutive days. And hopefully that would have an effect on his wife. Well, we can do that at church. If you think of making sacrifices for your church on a weekly basis or at least a monthly basis, that can have a tremendous impact on what can happen in your church community. That's something to think about. You've got to remember your church is a team. It's an organism. And everybody within that church can work to make it better. Even people who are in the hospital can help your church by having people call them in the hospital, visit them in the hospital. This makes the team stronger and more cohesive. You've got to also pray. Rainier focused on the fact that many of these churches stop praying for themselves. We've got to pray for each other. We've got to pray for our churches and not leave prayer out of the equation if you feel there is some trouble in your particular church. Another interesting facet of this book was the fact that Rainier mentioned focus, that the church lost focus, at least those churches that fell apart, those churches that imploded, they lost their focus, they lost their vision, they didn't know what direction they were going in. Now, if I read to you in Philippians chapter 1, the following, listen to this, Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. What's Paul saying here? He's saying, hey, once I got you guys started as a church and I left you and now I'm writing to you, I'm continuing to pray for you. I'm continuing to think about you. I have not lost my focus on what you guys are all about and what you're doing. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to remember that Christianity is about enduring to the end. You've got to run through that finish line. You can't quit. You can't give up. You got to keep working. You got to keep fighting for that kingdom of God and everything that that is about. Now, another scripture along those lines that this reminds me of is back in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read this one to you. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Listen to what it says. This is how we lose our focus. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. That's what happened to some of these churches. They got focused on their personal life. They got focused on their personal job. They got focused on their personal family, and they left the church things to blow in the wind. Verse 20, Matthew chapter 6, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Get this, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is your treasure in the church, or at least the kingdom of God, which has a connection to your church, I hope? Is your treasure there, or is it in the things that are fading away in this life? We all need to ask ourselves that question. And as a church community, we also need to ask ourselves that question. Looking at verse 33 of this same chapter, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. When you've got your focus on the kingdom of God, it's easier to put your focus on your church family, on the vision that your church has, on the gospel message that your church is trying to get out into your community. Let's not lose sight of that. Now, another thing that people complain about at times is lack of energy. They say, well, we don't have enough people to do this. We don't have enough people to do that. What you've got to remember is what Scripture tells you about the power that you do have as a church community. Let's not forget, when you've got baptized members of a church, each of those baptized members should have God's Holy Spirit. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power power. Let me repeat it again. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Don't forget what's inside of you. If you're a baptized member, if you've gone under the waters of baptism and confessed Christ and renounced your sins and have repented and are following God's ways written about in the Bible, then you've got the power of the Holy Spirit to help you overcome any obstacles. Remember what it said in Matthew, what we read earlier, that the gates of Hades would not prevail against Christ's church. When I read these scriptures and things aren't going well at church, I get pumped up. I'm ready for action. I'm ready to try something new, and you need to do the same thing for your churches. Now, the last thing I want to address on today's program are, do you know if you have a sick church or not? What are some signs that Rainier found in his research that showed there was a problem with a particular church? Let me address a few of these examples. Number one was there was a numerical decline. That's pretty obvious, right? Okay, if you've got 100 people coming to church and 5 years later there's 60, there might be a problem there. Unless you had a large family that moved away. But you get the picture here. Numerical decline is one indicator. That's not the whole story, though. There could be other reasons why you are declining numerically. A second reason that he gives is apathy among the membership. You've got ministries within your church. You want people to write cards. You want people to call people, visit people, do volunteer work. Are you getting volunteers for those activities? If you're not, that's a sign of an apathetic church. Your people in church should be on fire to volunteer to do good works, because that's part of what Christianity is all about. Whether they're 15 or 95, I know 95-year-olds that can get on the phone and talk up a storm. That can be something that can assist your church in doing what God would have us to do as a Christian community. A third point that Rainier makes that says you may be a dying church is new people are rare. If you rarely get a new person, if you've got the same people and they've been there forever and nothing new is happening as far as people are concerned, that could be a third indicator. A fourth indicator could be that your pastors are in and out. There's no continuity with who is leading your church. If you've got guys coming in for 2 years or 3 years, then they're out the door onto bigger and better things. That's not good for the vision that's been established by the church. That's not good for continuity. A final point that he makes is, if it's been a long time since you feel good about church, there's probably a problem at that church. Now, if you've got three of these indicators, that could be an indication you're a sick church. You need some medicine, metaphorically, and Rainier gives some suggestions about that. What he says is, the first thing you got to do if you're a sick church is admit it. Just like the alcoholic or the drug addict must admit, I'm an alcoholic or drug addict, a sick church must come together and say, we've got a problem, we've got to do something about it. That's the first step. A second thing you can do is pray for wisdom. Solomon prayed for wisdom. God gave it to him. What kinds of decisions do we need to make to change our situation? Pray to God for that. Don't make it up on the fly. Don't think you can do it from a human standpoint. Bring God into the equation through heartfelt prayer on what decisions you need to make. Think about it and then make those decisions. Again, I've addressed this third point earlier. You've got to be willing to change. And when you're willing to change, you've got to try new things that you have not tried before. This can help remedy a situation for a sick church. Another point to make to help a church that is sick is base your focus outward. If nobody new is coming in, if you aren't getting new people and you're losing people, you need to look at the community around you. Get out there into that community. Do things for that community. Promote who you are within that particular community. Because people may not want to drive 2 hours to church, 1 hour to church. But if church is right across the street, if church is right next door, hey, it makes it a lot easier to go to that church. One final scripture to address is over in Matthew chapter 19. Again, I like to pump you up a little bit here at times. I want to leave you with this scripture in Matthew 19 and verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Let me repeat that. I just love the way that sounds. With God, all things are possible. I don't know what state your church is in today, but with God and His Holy Spirit, all things are possible. You can become a vibrant church again if you have lost that first love, if you have lost that infusion that you had whenever you got into that church experience that you're in right now. But to do that, it's going to take some work. You've got to invest some time and effort. And God says in His Word, we have to endure to the end. You've got to race through the finish line and keep working at it. Now, remember what I mentioned earlier on today's program. We talked about a free CD and a free booklet or piece of literature that you can have. That CD that I want you to order is titled Building the Church. If we need to build our church, how do we do it? We've got some answers for you. And I also want you to get that literature, A Call to Revival. Throughout the history of Christianity, there have been times of revival where a new infusion of energy came into the church that got them over that hump. To get both of these items free of charge, call us toll free at 1-888-578-8791, 1-888-578-8791, or visit our website to order, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. I'll see you again on another edition of the Armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.